Right, we're going to start again. That's okay. So how is this going to work? Good question. How is this going to work? I thought we'd just feed back from some of the things we were discussing about, just on those questions. And at the front here, we have a panel of wisdom. Panel of wisdom. Okay. And who knows? Who knows? I may ask them some questions. I may not. I may just leave them there looking silly. That could be quite fun, couldn't it? Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. We're just going to share together some of the ideas, hopefully encourage each other with some of the ideas we've been talking about in our groups. So what did you think? Okay, we want to have the word of Christ in our midst. I hope we sort of all agreed on that. But we should be saying, well, yes, but how? How can we actually do that in practice? How can we do that better in practice? So firstly, how can we do that better in practice as individuals, as individual believers? I hope you had a bit of a discussion about this, about quiet times in your groups. Has anyone got any great insights about the pros or cons of a daily quiet time? Pros or cons? Anyone talk about that? Or not? I'm talking about something completely different. Yes.
It's really good for building a relationship with Jesus, because you're having to you're learning about the Bible and what he's saying to you through that, like, each day, and you're also talking to him in prayer, so it's building your own personal relationship.
Okay, so building your own personal relationship is very good to do. That's a good thing to do, so I presume it's a good thing to do every day.
I'm not sure.
Okay, good. So that's a pro. Other pros for daily quiet times? Does anyone know what we mean by a daily quiet time? Sort of setting aside a bit of time, a sort of regular time every day to read the Bible and to pray. That's what we're talking about. Will?
I think it can be quite counterintuitive and hard work because of our sin, and Satan doesn't want us to be doing it because it's so precious and so important. So if we build it into a habit every day, it makes it easier to do.
Yeah, that's right. So on the one hand, it is a valuable thing to do. We know it's a valuable thing to do. Satan would love us to not be doing it. And therefore, as a discipline, we sort of set aside some time every day so that it becomes habitual. It becomes a good habit. Excellent.
It is lack of time, like a hindrance to not be able to do it.
Okay. Okay, so a difficulty is always going to be lack of time. We're always under time pressure, I guess. Can anyone think of any cons for doing this? Any reasons why you might not do it? So, Richard.
Well, it's just the idea of just like opening the Bible for 10 minutes a day, and then for the rest of your day not bothering with it. It kind of segments your day off, and this is my time for the Bible, and the rest of the day I don't bother with it, and that's probably one of the
Okay, so there's a danger that you could segment your day. So this is the little bit of Christian stuff you do in 10 minutes in the morning with your Bible open and then doing some praying. And the rest of it is doing something else, basically. So you have a slightly segmented view of what's going on. Especially, I guess, if that's the only time in the day that you're opening your Bible. Right. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
We said that probably the biggest danger is if it becomes legalistic. And then you think, I have better right standing with God because I have read my Bible and prayed this morning. And then the days you don't, you feel guilty before God because you haven't.
Yeah.
And so that is, we thought, was probably the biggest danger.
Yeah.
It becomes a part of your personal righteousness.
Yeah, that's right. So if it becomes a little rule by which the actual act itself becomes a thing that you think adds to your righteousness. Then it's rather like those funny things earlier in the book of Colossians, which you think might be helping you in your battle, but actually are of no use at all, because you're doing it all with the wrong attitude, and that leaves you very guilty when you don't do it, and you probably don't get much out of it when you do it. You're just the fact of doing it that you think is value. Yeah, I'm sure we can slip into that, can't we? There's a danger of slipping into that. Any further points? So I think it's careful to we need to be a little bit careful about this. It's not something we want to insist upon. Nevertheless, if we can do it and do it well, then it would seem to be a good idea. But perhaps we do need to think a bit more broadly about it. So Peter Adam is quite interesting on this issue. Peter Adam, who wrote this book I was talking about earlier, says that he doesn't think daily quiet times are a good idea at all. Okay, so that's an interesting alternative perspective. He reminds us that before there were printed Bibles, which is sort of quite late on in the history of the church, that would have been sort of 17th, 18th centuries, you wouldn't have been able to do it anyway. The only time you would have been hearing from the word would be when you gather together to hear from it, or you do it together as a sort of community activity. You don't do it on your own. And that's a sort of helpful corrective, I guess. So we don't want to insist upon it. Nevertheless, as Will was saying, it can be a helpful discipline to make sure that we're doing some Bible reading each day. Great. I just wanted to ask the panel about their experience of quiet times and what they've found helpful and what they've not found helpful. Any hints or tips, and then I sort of open it up to others. Andy, what have you found helpful, or what have you been your struggles, and have you sort of coped with all this?
I think one of the hardest things I found with quiet times when I did, I think notes are fantastic, but I had some notes that were dated, and each day you had a bit of the Bible to read and some questions, and they were useful when I did it, but I used to feel so guilty if I didn't do it. What I started doing instead of that was I started just reading through a book of the Bible, and either read through a commentary with it or just sat and thought about it, and I found that quite liberating. Yeah. So I don't want to knock notes, they're rubbish, but I just personally found at one time I did feel quite constrained by them. I felt liberated just by reading through a book of the Bible.
Yeah, myself. Great, thank you. Audrey, what's been your experience?
I think just recently I realised this actually. I've been a Christian for years. And I realised that so much of the New Testament is written, especially the letters, are written to tell us to stick with Christ. And the writers realised just how difficult it is to stick with Christ, and the world is throwing so much at you, and your sin is trying to drag you away from him. It just shows real wisdom to read the Bible. So because that helps you to stick with Christ. And when there's so much that would long to drag you away, actually, I need all the help I can get. And knowing as well that it does build your relationship. So I don't know if you guys have been there on Sunday nights, particularly when Charlie was speaking about the Lord's Prayer and talking about praying to our Father in heaven. Well, here we have the words of our Father in heaven. And it's just an absolute joy to read them. So don't come to it thinking, here we go again, I have to do this, I must do this. But actually, it shows real wisdom to do it, but also it's a real joy to do it. This is a bit like the blind leading the blind here, because I get it wrong so often. But just keep going. So often.
Fantastic. Anyone any wisdom on the difficulties of finding time to do these things? Or the thing I struggle with is just being tired while doing it, so... Well, the sort of natural time to do it seems to be early in the morning, but I'm half asleep early in the morning. Any thoughts on any of that? Philip, when do you do this?
I tend to do it in the morning. I think it's not really a rule, so I think I would say you've got to work out what works best for you. Some people, that's the evening, so my housemate, he finds the evening best for him. For me, it's generally the morning. But I think there are some practical things we can do as well. So if you find it's hard to get up in the morning, but the morning is the best time, then something as simple as just getting an early night really helps. And also just something as practical as saying, okay, this is how long I take to get ready because I'm slow or fast in the morning. Therefore, this is the time I need to set my alarm clock at if I'm going to get up and have a quiet time. So something as basic as that really is a real help.
Great, thank you. Any other thoughts that you talked about in in your groups. Yes.
I found it quite helpful to use unproductive time elsewhere. So I used to travel half an hour on the tube to work.
Okay.
It's a great time to be mulling over things. It's an extra half hour you can add to your quiet time, so you can spend time thinking about what the passage means and then applying it during that half hour.
Yeah. So if you're a commuter, that's great time to also use. Fantastic. I think that's you, Andy.
Yeah, sorry to speak again. Because you know, I'm normally quite brief. We spoke about sort of it being, you know, the danger and the risks, but also said that although obviously we want to be doing it ideally with right motivation, and because we really want to spend time with God and because we love it, then actually there will be times when we really don't want to sit down and read the Bible. And so at that times we do need to discipline ourselves and say, I don't feel like this, but
yeah,
I know that it is good for me, and
yeah,
therefore I will do it nonetheless.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of the guys said that there had been times where they didn't feel like it, but looking back, you know, they were so glad they did, and it kept them close, and it kept them, you know, sort of keeping going.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you sort of think, if I haven't prayed then, when am I praying at all? You know,
well, that's right. Yeah. So that's what I decided with my quiet time. So I'm half dead and early in the morning, but if it doesn't happen then it doesn't happen any other time, as a regular thing. So it has to happen then. Yeah. Great. Any other thoughts before we move on, Ash?
One of the things we were talking about was getting the balance. So we said on the one hand, just opening the Bible and reading it, God will honour that, because God works powerfully through his word. And as you read it, something will trigger. God will use it in some sense to grow you. But I think we said, what we really want is to move down the asymptotic line. We want to get closer to a proper understanding of God.
Mm.
And I think one of the dangers of just coming to the Bible, opening it, reading it, is you pick a word because it's a word you're familiar with, and you think that the passage is all about that word. And you bring your large level of misunderstanding of that particular subject in the Bible to it, and you don't really grow in your knowledge of God through the Bible. I think one of the things we want to do to some extent is to be using that time to grow in little ways to know God better. So
yeah,
perhaps the thing we were suggesting to aim for is to have a slightly more substantial time than certainly I tend to allow myself, to just really chew on the Bible a bit more and really think about it and try to really understand what the passage is saying, because then you encounter God, not just a word that you're thinking about.
Yeah.
But to accept that when you actually don't have that time and you take 5 minutes and just open the Bible, God will still speak.
Yeah, yeah, you know, sure, that's helpful. Yeah, we've got to try and avoid doing things that are going to leave us feeling discouraged. So if we try to be too ambitious, I guess that could lead to us being discouraged. If we choose a book of the Bible that's extremely hard, we know nothing about, and try and do it all at once, that might leave us discouraged, those sorts of things. So doing things alongside other things that you're doing in church, it could also be a helpful thing to do. Reading Mark, for example, would be an excellent thing to do in your quiet times. Yeah, those sorts of things, just to try and ease that process of understanding a bit. Anything else? Yeah. Someone, there was a hand at the back. Yeah.
It's quite surprising what we were talking about, just which said the idea of just taking, say, what you hear in the sermon on Sunday,
yeah,
or what we're doing in Mark, and just take a small, even just like one question that kind of was raised during the sermon, and apply it to every day to a different area of your life.
Yeah.
And just to think and kind of let all this head knowledge kind of,
yeah,
touch your heart and actually your actions. So kind of just taking the weight off or having to study the Bible again,
yeah, yeah, excellent. So making use of other stuff, including sermons, other talks, yeah, all those sorts of things, very useful. And I do commend reading whole books to you. It's a great thing to do, just to pick a book and to read it over and over again. You'll find the first time through a book, you won't get that much out of it. The second time, things start to come into focus a little bit in places. Third time, you'll get a view of a much clearer view of how it fits together. And it probably takes four times reading a book before you're getting very far. So, but that makes it a really worthwhile thing to do. Yeah, one more, and then we'll move on.
Just a question of what you just said there. How would you recommend doing that on a book like Isaiah, which is 66 chapters?
Yeah, well, it is a challenge. I think, so with Isaiah, I think there would be a danger if you were just doing, say, 5 minutes a day, that you'd very quickly get discouraged, and you'd do your 5 minutes, but you wouldn't. It would take you years, wouldn't it, to get through it four times. So you need, so either pick a much shorter book, like Obadiah, okay, Philemon, something like that, or just do that in a different way. So you have a different time in the day, maybe in your commuting time, where you're just reading Isaiah. You read it like you would read any other book, you know, you read it like a novel or whatever. For the purpose of just getting familiar with it. Or you do it with someone else. We'll talk about that in a moment. And you can help each other to understand it. Great, excellent. In fact, let's move on to that. Thinking about this time, moving on to sort of helping each other in all this, doing things together, but this time in one-to-one sort of situations. And I'm thinking either in sort of casual encounters, that doesn't sound quite right, does it? But I mean sort of unplanned, what am I trying to say? Or possibly something a bit more structured where you meet on a regular basis, something like that. Who's got some experience or some help or some wisdom how we can do this better? Or maybe we don't do it at all. Is that the problem? Yes, Lenny.
I think it's helpful to be intentional about, I mean, if you're meeting with somebody, maybe have some, whether this person's a Christian or not, have some idea of what you might want to talk about.
Yeah.
Or questions to sort of center on the word, center on God, to not just let the conversation fritter off. But to just be really intentional about it, and before meeting up casually or informally, to just pray a lot about it. And
yeah. So yeah.
And trust him to direct the conversation.
Yeah. So it is it is about taking those opportunities seriously, isn't it? And praying about it and being prepared for it, and trying to steer them away from being. I mean, it's great to talk about other things as well, but to have some gospel content, in other words, some biblical content in there, and to be intentional about trying to do that. Who can give some insights from experiences that they've had of this? So, I mean, said at after eight at St. Helens on a Sunday evening would be a sort of prime time, prime opportunity time for doing this sort of thing. Or in the underwriter, even. Yeah, thank you. Sorry, yes.
I think perhaps something like, you know, thinking up a really easy question, natural question to ask people after a talk. So your talk on Sunday night, you know, just asking someone, how are you in danger of, where are you most in danger of wrecking your relationship with your Heavenly Father?
Yeah, that's right. Something lightweight like that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
I think if you're in a situation where you've had a structured one-to-one, someone you're close to over a long period of time, you build up a huge amount of accountability towards one another.
Yeah.
And the fact that you know that whatever you're doing in your Christian life with God at the moment, you know, it's not just a personal thing you hold with God, but someone else there who knows what you're going through,
yeah,
and offers advice, and that kind of third person look on the thing, it's really good and encouraging to have that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I guess we're sort of moving on here to some more structured sort of meeting up and having someone, you know, you're more specifically accountable to, or maybe you're doing something more, working through a book of the Bible together, something like that.
It's a great chance to pray as well.
Yeah, absolutely, to pray together, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, we never have to be rigid in these things, like you have to do such and such and such and such. Yeah, we can be real with each other and do other things, as well as having the word in there richly. Yeah, fantastic. So what about these sort of more structured one-to-one stuff? Who's got some experience with that? Audrey, you've got some experience with that, haven't you? Okay, tell us about how you go about that.
Over this last year, I've been meeting with a girl once a week, and we've been studying Hebrews together. I mean, she's quite a mature Christian, so I mean, it was quite safe to start with Hebrews, but it might be easier to start with a shorter book, maybe Colossians or something like that. And it was a really mutually beneficial time, and we'd sit and discuss what the passage was about, what the purpose of it was, and in the context of the whole book of Hebrews as well. But exactly as that guy at the back, I don't know, so there's a really good time of accountability as well. And I felt really, really nervous about asking her if she wanted to do it. I thought she would just tell me to get lost and that she couldn't be bothered. But actually, I prayed about it, and she just seemed really, really keen to do it. And another thing, I've been meeting with another girl. We've been reading through a book together, so The Pursuit of Holiness. And I think that's a really good starter, actually, I'm not so sure where she stands, but it's been really good to read that book. It's perhaps, because she's not so used to studying the Bible with someone, it was a good starter, but I would definitely recommend reading the Bible with someone. And I think it can just seem really unnatural. I guess we might not be used to it, but it's worth giving it a go.
Yeah, so I mean, I do commend that to you. It doesn't. Sometimes it feels a slightly odd thing to do, doesn't it? But actually, once you do it, it can be a great thing. It doesn't always go brilliantly, but very often it can be a great thing to do for someone and with someone. Yeah, fantastic. Any more comments on that before we move on, Ash?
Particularly on the more structured one-to-ones, I think the temptation is. We're meeting to resolve each other's problems. That's kind of, we feel like we've got to be psychiatrists, sociologists, and all those things as well. And it's helpful just to remember that it's God's word that carries that His Spirit uses. God works powerfully in the word, and that actually, to some extent, we don't have to diagnose the person's issues. God knows the person's issues, and it's His word that will change them from the inside outwards. So it's just helpful to remember that God's word is really powerful.
Yeah, that's right. So that should take away some of our fear from doing it, doesn't it? And we've got the Bible in front of us. That means we're well equipped already to help people. Yeah, indeed. Sorry, there was going to be Davina. Yeah.
I was just going to say that meeting up one to one is a totally different experience to being in a small group as well.
Yeah.
I mean, our group is sort of 10, and that's still quite a big group, I think.
Yeah. Fantastic. So yeah, that's right. So it's an opportunity to either give someone some personal attention in that way, or to receive some personal attention in that way, and it will be mutually beneficial as well, I'm sure. Yeah, that's great. No, thank you. Good. Let's talk about small groups then. So this is where we're at on a Tuesday. So what sort of attitude should we have as we come, we join together in groups on a Tuesday? How can we be more constructive and helpful? And I'm sure, our intention is to be constructive and helpful, but how can we do that better, I guess? Any thoughts on that? Who wants to kick us off? Yeah, Will.
I think one thing might be to be thinking, how can I help the others in the small group at least as much, if not more, than thinking, how can they help me?
Yeah, that's right. So to go into the group with a servant-hearted attitude, that's right, that wanting to help others rather than help yourself. What's amazing about studying Mark's gospel is that Mark is going to push us, Jesus is going to push us in exactly that direction. So Mark's gospel will train us to be servants, to be servant-hearted, following the example of Jesus himself, and training us to become ashamed of not being servant-hearted. So it's all going to push us in that direction and help us in that direction. Great. Joe, what sort of attitude do you? I see you're a small group leader. What sort of attitudes would you like to see from your group members as they come along?
They're all perfect now.
Are they?
I suppose that's really hard. I think just expecting them to come having done some work and being willing to work at it together. So having got where they think. What they think is the purpose, to then kind of be willing to wrestle with it with other people, and to help those that maybe haven't got the point to try and help them. So not to kind of lecture, but to kind of join in and make it a discussion.
That's right. It then becomes that enables it to become a group activity rather than rather than something else.
A ping pong
activity. Excellent. Any other thoughts on this? Lenny?
You could listen to one another well.
Yes.
Hear what people are saying rather than what we want them to say.
Yeah, that is a fairly important skill, isn't it, in a group setting? Otherwise, you're not going to be helping or communicating to listen to one another effectively. Those sorts of things. Oh. What would you say about your experience either having prepared for a study or not having prepared for a study and the difference that makes? Would anyone like to say anything about that? Or does nobody do any preparation for their study?
I've been quite convicted on this recently and thinking I can get away with not doing very much. It makes such a difference when you do a lot of prep for the because you are more familiar with it yourself and you've tried to work out what on earth's going on and you've got the questions that you need to be answered and things like that. So you're much more familiar with it rather than just going and having read it maybe once in like the 5 minutes before the study starts. You're not really going to have much of an idea of what's going on in the passage. So actually it is really, really, really helpful to read it through at least a couple of times before.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Andy?
I think there's a massive danger. We're driven by guilt. So I think I must do work because I'm told to do prep for my Bible study. Yeah. Actually, no. It's a fantastic thing to do to listen to God as he speaks to us when we read the Bible. And that is just an awesome thing to do. And if we really are struck by that, we'll just want to read it the whole time. I will not want to go to work every day. I'll phone in and say, I'm sorry, but I'm reading the Bible today. I just want to read God's feet. And so each week for Bible study, I'm thinking, I can't wait to open my Bible. And that's where I'm actually thinking, I just want to hear God speak. I can't get enough of it. Rather than thinking, oh, I ought to read it because, you know, that's what I'm meant to do and, you know, someone else will think I'm thick if I haven't. So.
Yeah. And it's connected to the being servant-hearted, I guess. So if we're convinced that it's the Bible that's going to help other people, then the way that we help them is by working as hard as we can to understand things and get a grip on it. So it's out of love, not out of guilt, that we prepare. If we prepare. Any other thoughts on that, Ash?
Sorry,
quickly.
I think we need to remember we're wanting to encounter God by seeing what he's actually said in the Bible. I think one of the limitations of a group where nobody's prepped, and this is mentioned a long time ago from being in a group myself and seeing, gosh, I'm going away with what my group leader thinks the passage is about. Yeah. My group leader isn't inspired, the Bible's inspired. God speaks through the Bible, not necessarily through what my group leader thinks. And if we all come with what we think the passage is about, at the very least, everybody sharpening everybody else.
Yeah.
Nobody's just going away with what the group leader thinks should be going on, because everyone's justifying from the text what's going on.
That's right.
And we will all learn.
Hopefully, yeah. So it's sort of effectively expanding the amount of time that you're working on this together. Great. Philip, you can say.
It also, just building on that, it expands the amount of time you've got to think how it hits home to us. So if Phil's really well prepped, that in principle it should be possible to get to the heart of the passage really quickly, and then you can spend all the rest of the time thinking about, well, how does this affect my life in relation to work, in relation to how I relate to people I share a house with, etc., etc., etc. So it'd be a real help.
Great. Any more thoughts? Interesting to hear any perspectives on what it's like being a group member. How can we help? How can we be better leaders? Those sorts of things. Yeah.
I was just going to say, this is a bit simple, but just the fact, just turning up and just. I find it really encouraging when other people come.
That's right.
It's just great. Like, if we can be committed to one another. And,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's horrible.
I think that's very, very, very important indeed. I would love us all to take that on board. We had a slightly desperate situation last year in RML, Mark, where we had, I think, 120 people sort of on the books, sort of people who had come at least once, but each week only 60 of them would actually turn up. Now that's kind of slightly damaging, isn't it, for the sort of dynamics going on in your groups. It's sort of damaging for the way that you're sort of picking up stuff yourself. You're only there half the time, then you're sort of losing the continuity as you go through. But it's also damaging in terms of the relationships within the group. So we're still quite early on in this year, so we still have a chance to sort of commit to that more positively. And I would love us to do that. Again, not out of guilt, but out of love. It'd be great to do that. Any thoughts on how we can go about leading things better? We'd love to learn from each other about how to do these things. Or is it all done perfectly? I doubt that. Yeah.
I've got a question, so. Every week in our group, we struggle to get to application.
Yeah.
At the time we need to actually talk about the problem. So, if you haven't got to the main point of the passage, then do you just draw stumps wherever you haven't got?
Draw stumps, yeah.
Apply what you have got to.
Yeah.
Or do you never apply until you've really got to?
Yeah, no, that's a good question.
Because it feels, because you're desperate to really understand it as well as possible.
Yeah, that's right.
And isn't it might even be dangerous to start applying before you've understood it?
Well, that's right. So there are dangers either way, aren't there? So there's a danger the first way. So if you're not applying it, then what's the point? If you apply it too quickly, you might apply the wrong point. Mm-hmm. So there are dangers either way. So you want to avoid not having enough time, I suppose, in the end. You may have noticed that we like to talk about the purpose of a passage rather than the main point of a passage, and that's deliberate. And I think if in a group you can get through to the purpose of a passage, that is what Mark wants to happen in his readers through this passage as they read it, then you've already got the heart of what the application is. So there'll be lots of details flowing out from that, which will apply in different ways to different people in different circumstances, but that's going to be the heart of it. So that's what you really want to get to before you finish the study. You've noticed that we have review studies through the year, and one of the points of having the review studies is to have a little bit more time to think about the sort of more detailed application and to review stuff and to see how it fits together. We're never going to be perfect in this, but we can just try hard to be good on timekeeping, to be going for purpose as the heart of application, to not be stopping at the end of the study, to carry on talking about it, to go and carry on thinking about it, and using those review studies for going over it again. Because we do want to see changed lives, changed hearts, changed people over the year. Absolutely. Anything more? Let's move on, shall we? We're moving gradually larger groups. Large gatherings. So I guess like Sunday evening at St. Helens, that sort of thing. What can we do that would be more helpful? Beforehand, I've got some suggestions here. So beforehand, during or after a meeting like that, to help the word be really central and to take root and to have effect amongst one another. Yes.
Is it, well, a bit basic, but I think for me, just taking notes is really helpful, and it's really helpful having the outlines, especially if you can use those in the quiet times in the week and go back to it. So it's not just for a Sunday evening; it's something that you're really trying to revisit and think how it applies for in the week.
Yeah.
And if you've written it down, then you can remember it at least.
So taking notes. Yeah. We can feel a little bit nerdy doing that sometimes. I feel a little bit nerdy doing that. Sorry, no suggestion that you do. But I feel, you know, there are certain circumstances where you can feel slightly embarrassed taking notes, but it's a great thing to do, actually, isn't it? And again, we do it not to show anything to anyone, but we do it for a concern for our own understanding so that we can help others and all of that. It keeps you awake as well, I find. Yeah. Lenny?
I think beforehand it's helpful to pray that God will have open hearts for God's word to speak to us. During, I think, for me, I find it helpful also to take notes, and I'm not a nerd, and also to listen well to what God is really saying, and afterwards to want to talk about it with people, and to be thinking about it, and, you know, sort of pondering on it.
Yeah, that's right. So not having that segmentation problem, you know, so where you're just focused on the word just for the beginning and end of the meeting. It's beforehand praying about it. It's afterwards talking about it and praying about it as well, I guess. All of those things might expand it into the rest of the week, so it has a much wider and bigger impact. All of those things. Anything more, Andy? Yes.
Thinking through how I can serve at church, so not in a necessarily structured way, but thinking beforehand each week, are there people who I can sit next to? Have I got friends who I know this might be a particularly hard time for them? You know, this might be a particularly hard sermon I know that's going to come up today, which they might struggle with. Can I sit next to them and talk to them and chat to them? You know, it's just thinking beforehand, how can I serve my Christian family at church tonight in a sort of unstructured way?
Yeah. Great, thank you. Yeah.
Just going back to kind of how pretty much a crisis in the midst of it all, just individually amongst the gathering after the sermon, often it's, I think sometimes I do the prayers afterwards or have a bit of time quiet just to let the sermon sink in and kind of really kind of be aware of, you know, Christ is in our midst and speaking to our hearts.
Yeah, no, sure. That can be a very good time, can't it? Perhaps we should do that more. Yeah. Be very good. Ash again.
I know some people find it quite helpful to have read the passage that's going to be spoken on in the week up to the service.
Yeah.
Have thought about it a bit. It's a bit like doing a prep for R&R study. You're just a bit more aware of what you think's coming up, and maybe it helps you take in what's being said and push you on a bit and maybe...
Yeah.
Help you to think whether you agree with the speaker or not, be a bit more discerning, so we can be making sure that Christ really is in the midst of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's right. So preparation beforehand again, or just reading beforehand even. And I guess picking things up in quiet times, as we were talking about earlier, can also be a good thing. It is, yes, I think so. In the term cards that you can pick up from the information board at the back, it should say what's being preached on
And on the back of the service sheet from 1 week, it'll tell you what's been preached on next week as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's on the website.
It is on the website.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great.
And then praying as well, we should be praying for those in leadership at our church.
Mm.
So they're simple, fallen men who... isn't it great that God has saved them? The devil would long to take them away from Christ, and would long to have them preaching a message that is not Christ. So we need to be praying for them and encouraging them to keep going with Christ, because it's such a responsibility on their shoulders, teaching us all in God's word.
Yeah, thank you. One thing we're going to try and do next term is give each RML group, they're just starting it in Romans just at the moment, but each RML group the opportunity to have, I don't know what you call this, I think, what are they calling it? Bodybuilding, is that right? Which is basically, oh dear, I didn't choose that name, sorry. So it's basically, you know, the idea is that it's not compulsory or anything like that, it's just an opportunity for each RML group to meet before the evening meeting on a Sunday. At the moment that would be at 5:45, say, just chat through a few things, some of the things we've just been talking about now, about how can we helpfully help each other on a Sunday evening, how can we pray, those sorts of things, just a bit of input there. Then join there's a prayer meeting that happens at 6:30 at the moment before every meeting to pray for the meeting. So with the person who's leading the meeting, with the person who's preaching, whoever's praying or reading. So to join that meeting and to pray with them. To then go out into the meeting itself, sort of very intentionally, as Lenny was saying earlier, to help each other as best we can. And then maybe the next week having a bit of feedback on that with each other and praying for things that happened. So what we're going to try and do is next term sort of offer that, and there'll be a sort of rota in which you can sort of join and come along together to sort of get a bit more involved in helping and serving in that way on a Sunday evening. Great. Andy?
Probably I thought the most helpful thing you can do after the Sunday service is come to the underwriter.
The underwriter is an admirable place for doing these sorts of things.
It's a vital ministry. It is a great place to talk about the sermon.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Any other comments before we finish on any of that stuff or any other points anyone would like to make? Andy, you look poised to make a point, or are you just... No. Great, good. Well, it's going to be, yes, we're eating at 7. So what don't I pray, and I'll give thanks for that, and go on. And then later on, what's happening later, Rob?
Quiz.
Great.
Yay.
Won't bother with that. And we're going to have a quiz at, what time is evening entertainment? At 8:30.
And that'll be in here, yeah?
That'll be in here. And there's a very great prize to be won.
Good.
If you'd like to just turn up. And I don't think it's... Yeah, just turn up, and then we'll sort out teams when you get in. It'll be like teams of 10.
Brilliant.
It's going to probably be the best quiz ever.
Excellent. Do have a look at the book table again. That's got some resources, some of the Bible notes that Andy didn't find very helpful on there. But you might. So have a look at those. And there are some other books there that you might find helpful as well. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, and thank you that you do help us to help each other in this, and we can talk about it together and encourage each other to have Christ in our midst by having the word of Christ in our midst. We pray that we would see the good effects of that over the coming year in RML on a Tuesday, on a Sunday evening as well, and in all sorts of other situations too, the word of Christ having a wonderful and powerful effect and changes on people. We pray for that most earnestly. With joy, we would long to have the joy of seeing that happen. We thank you for our partnership in Christ this weekend, for the fellowship that we can enjoy together. Thank you again for the food that we've been enjoying throughout the weekend, and we thank you for the food we're just about to enjoy together. And please help us to be those who are longing to talk about Christ to one another throughout the rest of this day and throughout the rest of this weekend. And we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.